waiting for is here.
Previously on the Woody and Wilcox Show.
So a comedian and actor and author and et cetera, Bob Saget is going to be joining us here in a few minutes. And he's traveling around the country doing stand-up, among other things. The man may be the busiest person on the planet.
I see him everywhere. On Instagram, he's at baseball games, and then he's doing stand-up in a different city. It's amazing.
So for those of you that are in different parts of the country, Bob Saget is in Charlotte this weekend. And last night, speaking of being busy, sang the national anthem at the Charlotte Knights baseball game.
That our flag was still there. Oh, say.
Seen Bob do a lot of stand-up, and he definitely sings and plays guitar in his act, but it never had occurred to me that I would probably at one point in my life see Bob Saget singing the national anthem at a professional sporting event. Anybody else fall into that same category?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, right.
Definitely.
And yet, I've nailed it. You know, not that I ever had a doubt, Bob, if you're listening, but it still was like one of those things where the two things came together that I didn't expect to come together, if you know what I mean.
Thanks to Jeffrey on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, who's asking, hey, Bob Saget can sing, but can he sing backwards?
Let's find out. He just walked into the studio.
Hey. He's right behind me.
I was here for 10 minutes. Your assistant wasn't at the front.
We have an assistant?
Well, the lady, how are you?
Hi. Thanks. I brushed my teeth.
Hi, Bob. I did too. And my Twitter didn't work.
Hi, buddy.
We're touching each other, everybody. We're going all the way. We've known each other too long. I have their emails. There's a problem.
Yes.
She wasn't here. What's her deal?
We'd like to make you wait, honestly.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean.
You shimmy under the gate?
It's a total power play, Bob.
I felt that you were more important by waiting. I think you did the right thing. My ego is smashed.
I'm going to do this like they do on talk shows where I sit above everybody.
Yes. Yeah, I think Letterman was the first. That was a foot taller.
Yeah.
Did he really do
but
that?
I slats down. I'm short-waisted in some ways, anyway. Hello. But then Johnny Carson was always level with you. You know,
So wait, hang on. Look, can we back it up? Was that a real thing?
It was higher. I don't think he'd like hearing that, but I know he's not listening right now. So
no one is. Dare you?
No, he was also. I was on his show so many times. He was so gracious to me. So yeah. He could sit as tall as he wants because he was one of the kings of all of television.
Oh, yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But I'm happy to see you guys.
It's good to see you too, man. I'm really excited to see you.
It's been a while. I blew my voice out a little bit, singing the anthem last night.
If you're somebody who's just joining us, you may not have caught some of this from last night.
That's a good place to stop.
You got it.
Josh Groban texted me and he said, you killed it. And he thinks, I think he meant you killed it forever.
First of all, I heard you were going to sing it. I was like, I mean, because obviously I've seen your act. I know you sing a lot, but I didn't anticipate the anthem. And then I looked back and I saw you'd done it a couple times.
Yeah, I'd done it at the White Sox game, which was their parent team of the Knights. Mm-hmm. And I had sang at the Angels game. They've asked me to throw out the first pitch, but I think I'm better off warbling on the anthem than watching the first pitch. You don't want to see a 6'4" man from TV throw underhand. You just don't.
No, I do.
But who would think I'd rather sing the anthem than throw out a pitch?
Yeah, I'm not like a normal person. Well, I've been on Broadway before, not the street. I've actually been on Broadway in a show called The Drowsy Chaperone, which was a musical, and so it's I know how to do it. I have vocal not. I've had training, you know, whatever they say, like a dog, and they rub my nose in it when I don't sing good.
They take you outside.
But I have a bunch of new songs. Some of them are from my new special, 0 to 60, which is, here's my joke. It's on Amazon Prime. With two clicks, you can get my special, 0 to 60, and lotion. So with two clicks, so you can enjoy keeping your hands moist while you're watching it. Because you've got to lotion your body.
Right.
Or one hand.
Or just, well, it depends. I mean, if you're ambidextrous, you're just lucky.
Right.
That's a menage a trois, I think. That's that French.
It's not big enough to get two on there, Bob. I'm sorry.
I can't believe you have this book sitting here.
surprises.
I come here for relief and this and men that I've known for years, and this book is...
Why are you looking at me like I did it?
Well, why would you let this book be here?
Because it's a conversation starter.
You better say what the title of the book is now.
Bill Cosby Fatherhood. It should just say Hood.
It's a...
And I loved him. That's the thing. He's turning it over. He was an icon of mine. I was on The Tonight Show with him right before Johnny Carson left, and he was incredibly gracious.
Yeah.
And I didn't... it was just, you know, when you have somebody idolize, and then they... I get all my blue stuff done on stage. I don't do it in life. You know, you can bring a 17-year-old on my show, although you can't, can you?
No.
No.
No, we got Mike Hall here. He's a good man. Mike Hall. Sorry.
Mike Hall, how can I help you?
I'd like to buy a vowel. You got to be 21, right?
18.
Wow. What's the legal age of consent in Charlotte? I've spoken before.
Bob, why are you looking at me? I don't know.
You look the most perverted of anyone here. And you're sitting higher than me, which means you're in position for many things I want nothing to do with.
Same.
But it's sad that we're in a time where a lot of people are, this is apparently a guilty man, although we'll find out in the trial, but a lot of times when people
he's guilty.
He's guilty.
Yeah, they're just waiting on sentencing.
Okay.
Yep.
He has to.
Well, he's got good grammar, so sentencing.
It's a sentencing joke.
Paragraphing is good. No, you don't have to laugh. You're just wondering, why did I say it? But I just love being back here.
Do
you say that to everybody? Do you love us more?
No, I love I love people that entertain people, especially now. So you guys are fun for people to listen to, and you play political stuff. You play some stuff that goes on, but not a lot. You know, you really want to make people feel good, and that's what I want to do. I don't come in there, and I'll have an audience that's half here and half there, and you know, politically fall differently. I just want to bring everybody together and have a party and be as funny as I can.
Hold that thought, because
I can. I'm still talking.
I demand that you hold it. Bob Saget.
I like my fiance says that. I wear the dog collar. It rubs the lotion on its skin and does what it's told.
The following program is for entertainment purposes only.
Really, that's amazing.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
They simply couldn't imagine being without each other.
With Woody.
Ah, what the hell is the matter with you?
And Wilcox.
Oh, brother, this guy stinks!
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is insanity!
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
This is like, you know, when you're getting your legs waxed and they whip that thing off real fast. That's what this is like.
And now, it's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I've been through this a million times. In all my years in the theater, take a deep breath. Blow it out. Let's just do a good show, okay? Everybody do a good show.
Saget was great, huh?
Yeah, you went to the show. How was...
Well, yeah, that too, yeah. But I mean, it was great, you know, just being in here. But yeah, I saw him Friday night, I guess. It was a big weekend for me. Not only did I go out and see, you know, live comedy, saw Saget. By the way, Saget's opening act, opening guy, feature act, whatever the correct word is, Mike Young. I didn't know him before Friday night and found out a little something about him. We're everywhere, baby.
Apparently you all talk about it like this, too.
You're not successful wherever you are.
Saget was nice enough to have me back in before the show started, and so we were chatting, and of course I always have on Arizona gear, and I meet the opener, Mike Young, and he's like, you went to Arizona? I'm like, yeah. Found out that we were there at the exact same time, graduated the same year.
What?
It was a big night. It was a big night.
Did he, was he a security guard that guarded over a field of chairs? And what did you do? You didn't go to school.
I feel like that would have been better if you knew exactly what you were going to say at that point.
Sorry.
Not everybody who went to Arizona was a security guard after they graduated. Nope.
Okay.
At one time, yes, I did have a job where I guarded chairs and tables overnight. Yes, that's all true. Okay. But that has nothing to do with this. No, it was great. Well, and saw a movie over the weekend.
Really?
That's right.
A kid's one?
Chelsea, you're going to love this story eventually, by the way. I'm going to give you that heads up right now.
Eventually.
Crazy Rich Asians.
I saw Crazy Rich Asians, yes.
How was it?
It was good. By the way, number one movie over the weekend. So I've you're welcome, I guess. That's me, obviously. I'm the one who put that over the top. But as Cool Beans mentioned, absolutely, rom-com is that you were right, Cool Beans. I mean, I wasn't really doubting you. Not enough Ken Jeong, but it was a good movie.
Can you ever get enough Ken Jeong?
No, not really. By the way, so I went to see it with Joe, my son, and Denise and Sydney were doing something else. And the day before, when I was discussing, hey, we may go see Crazy Rich Asians tomorrow, Joe and I, Sydney, we're all in the car together. Sydney says, isn't that a rom-com? Which, first of all, I thought, God, everybody's on me about this. Because that's when I said it on Friday. I'm like, I think I'm going to go see it. And Cool Beans is like, oh, rom-com. But here's the part you're going to enjoy, Chelsea.
Okay.
Do you think you know what I'm going to say?
No.
Yeah, you don't know what I'm going to say. Denise's response was, what's a rom-com? See, and this is funny to those of you that are new to the show, because Chelsea always claims that I know nothing about, I don't know, how would you describe it? Things that are current? But I don't even feel like that falls into that category.
No, just
common
just
knowing.
Common knowledge.
Yeah. That's it. Yep. And so, of course, my daughter, who's 13, was like, Mom, romantic comedy. And Denise's response, I'm not a big fan of abbreviations. It's a good comeback. You got to give her credit for that. Makes no sense, really, but
no, it has
fast on her feet.
Right. Nothing to do with you not knowing what that meant, but thank you.
And by the way, then Sydney fires back, well, do you call it a situation comedy or do you call it a sitcom? Boom. Oh. No response.
There is some gun battle going on right now.
It was saucy in the car ride that day. Mm. So, no, it was a good movie. It's a love story, but there is some definite funny parts to it. Everything, not just Ken Jeong, but his whole family. He's the father and his family is involved. His daughter plays the role of the star's best friend. And so she's in it quite a bit, but it was funny. That part was funny. So I would recommend it. By the way, it beat The Meg in its second week out. The Meg was in its second week, and that thing crushed in week one and then week two. So I hadn't looked at reviews of that, but I got to imagine people were not really loving it.
Yeah.
Seems to be the answer for The Meg. Speaking of that, did anybody remember that Sharknado was on last night? I mean, I did, but did any of you remember that it was?
Oh, God, no.
I was never into that like you guys were.
I totally forgot.
Last night was the final ever Sharknado.
What's different about this one?
What do you mean, what's different about it?
Time travel.
Okay. There's got to be some you've extra read about layer.
It. Yeah. Sadly,
Well, hang on. Because I've got audio. I'm going to share this with you. Don't just blurt it all out. Spoiler alert. Well, what makes it different was they've announced for sure this is the final. What do you mean, what makes it different?
I didn't like with the plot or the storyline or something, you know, do the sharks get jobs this time? Like, what's going on?
Well, I feel like, you know, each one does sort of top itself in terms of being just unbelievable, ridiculous.
Yes.
And Woody's right. Time travel is what made this one sort of extra over the top. I've got some audio for you, including a cameo from someone who played a character when they traveled way, way back in history. Somebody that's been on our show, as a matter of fact. Okay. I'll share some of that with you coming up in the chat here in a second. We've also got a round of It Happened in Florida, but I'll get you some of that audio next. And something that happened, I'm guessing you didn't catch this over the weekend, another clip of audio that has nothing to do with Sharknado. We'll dig into that too.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
And now, it's time for the Shat Report. Stuff happening around the globe.
The G is silent.
Beep, 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 beep.
On the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I mean, I thought you would all know. Apparently you didn't. I tried to warn everybody on Twitter. Last night was the final Sharknado. The Last Sharknado, It's About Time, is what it was called. And as Woody mentioned, the little twist on this one was that they time traveled. They had to go back and try and convince George Washington and Alexander Hamilton to help them.
I'm sorry, so they had to convince the first president and the first treasury secretary?
I don't know. History, whatever. Come on, it's Sharknado for crying out loud. So, of course, Ian Ziering.
No.
Had to go back and talk to George Washington, and I'd like to play a clip for you. See if you can tell me who the actor is who's playing George Washington in this clip.
General Washington.
I've been told the British have an army of sharks, and you have a plan to stop them.
It's called a Sharknado, and no, the British don't control it.
If I remember my history correctly, and I'm a history teacher, which makes me uniquely qualified, you got a bunch of cannons lined up out here from Fort Ticonderoga.
We can use those cannons to destroy the Sharknado and kill the sharks.
Washington.
Hamilton.
Washington.
Hamilton.
Washington.
Hamilton? You know, I'm still trying to get tickets to your musical. Really hard to get.
Wait, who the hell is this?
Musical reference.
I'm thinking about people who do voices. Is it Caliendo?
It is not Caliendo.
Daryl Hammond.
That's right.
Okay.
Daryl Hammond from Saturday Night Live. It almost sounded to me like a Bill Clinton.
That's what I was thinking,
so
maybe
too.
That's what he was going for. I don't know. Because I'll be honest with you, I didn't watch it either. I recorded it, but I'm just grabbing audio off the internet. Okay. So there was that. They went on, by the way.
Look. The more we stand here and argue about it, the more time the Sharknado has to destroy your harbor and conquer your troops. And then we all lose the war.
General Washington, a fact about your past. In 1743, your father died when you were just 11 years old. And then a little bit later, you went to Barbados and contracted smallpox. But Mr. Hamilton, you were an orphan. But about 240 years from now, you become a really great singer. Good job.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a history teacher, damn it. You are my history.
What's it gonna be?
Hamilton, I think we need to give our new allies all the cannons they need. We have a Sharknado to defeat.
How much are you kicking yourself for not watching Sharknado last night?
Is there a negative number I can tell you?
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
Just listening to that.
Is that all one scene?
That's one scene where they're talking to Washington and Hamilton about a Sharknado. Well, it gives you a little bit of insight into why it probably is the final one.
Look, I'm sure it's entertaining on some level because it's so ridiculous.
Right.
I've been watching copious amounts of vintage supermarket sweep, so I can't really say anything about what entertains people.
Vintage supermarket sweeps?
Yes.
Wow. How's that going?
Great.
That's something I never watched before.
It's super short, obviously, no commercials, but this is back, like, we're trying to catch the early 90s version.
Mm.
And it's just, I'd forgotten about that era of life.
It's gross.
I'm not even sure what you mean, but I'm going to leave it there, I think. They have announced, for those of you that wanted to go see Aretha Franklin's public viewings, the 28th and 29th of this month, her funeral is going to be on the 31st. I partly bring that up because did anybody catch Al Sharpton on MSNBC over the weekend?
I saw it.
That was too bad, I felt like.
Yes.
He was talking about Trump or something, and etc. But here's the clip from Al Sharpton on MSNBC.
You know what they say about payback? It's a real... Well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I'm sorry, Mr. Sharpton, that is incorrect.
I mean, it's spelled out in the song.
Oh, look at me. Here we go. I know how to spell respect. I'm Chelsea. I went to Georgia Tech. Well, you know what? It's not as easy as you think it is.
The lyrics are difficult
to remember. Both of them are vowels. You know, it's confusing. Is it an I? Is it an E? We don't know. I think scientists are still debating that.
But it's in the words.
Hmm?
It spells it out for you in the song.
Look.
Dude, this is Chelsea's high horse.
Yeah. I don't know where that horse came from and how you got it in here, but it came in quickly. Okay. Maybe you didn't hear. Let's replay.
You know what they say about payback? It's a real... Well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I'm still wrong. I was thinking maybe he'd get it right that time. We've got a round of It Happened in Florida that hopefully will make us all feel a little bit better. And a couple of definite cautionary tales. Those of you that are afraid when you bite into something at a restaurant and you're not sure what it is.
Oh, no.
You're not going to want to hear this. We'll share it with you next.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
We've got three stories here. Woody and I are going to share these real quick. They're all true, and you just have to figure out which one of these three stories happened in the state of Florida. That's the simple nuts and bolts of it, because Florida just consistently is bringing the crazy. Strong, strong. So we want to celebrate that by playing It Happened in Florida. So 844-4WW-SHOW to get through, and Woody's got story number one.
Flying today is such a pleasure, isn't it? Every single step of the way. And that's why when you read the headline in story number one, you realize, gosh, I can't wait to book my next vacation. Headline reads, drunken and unruly Tinkerbell and Bob the Builder removed from flight by police. Just like you would expect.
The usual.
A couple of men, one of them dressed up like Tinkerbell, the other dressed up as Bob the Builder, were removed from a flight. They were going on a little bit of a bachelor party with some buddies and did a bit of booze in there at the airport bar. It has led to people asking for a 2-drink maximum at the airport bars from now on because of incidents like this. They said passengers get there early due to the lines. They start drinking. They drink to excess. The bartenders don't have to worry about them because they're getting on a flight. And yet you delay a flight because you're dressed as Tinkerbell and Bob the Builder. And you're, quote, threatening to cut everybody on the flight. Is it in Florida where you're like, yeah, that's the way to start a bachelor party?
Story number two is about a restaurant that has gotten, in hot water. For selling illegal meat in their tacos. Now, I apologize to those of you that are big fans of tacos. You're going to have to suffer through this. Anybody want to guess what they were selling that was illegal and why in the tacos in this particular restaurant?
Horse.
Horse would be a great guess. That sounds normal.
Did you say bald eagle?
Well, I'm thinking about what would be really illegal.
Yeah, bald eagle would be a... you know what? I'm not going to be mad at you. It's a good answer. It's not right. It's not correct. It's something that you'd be less interested in eating, I think, than bald eagle. I think we've all seen a bald eagle and thought, that looks delicious. But this is not something I feel like you'd think was delicious. You want to take one more guess?
Something in the weasel family.
That's another good guess. Nothing in the... I don't know. This is not in the weasel family. Not at all. What I hear you saying is tarantula. I say, what I hear you saying is tarantula. This particular restaurant got busted for selling tarantula tacos. Here's the interesting part. The patrons knew that it was tarantula. This isn't a case of somebody trying to pass off the old story. We've got great ground beef. Oh, my God, it's tarantula. No, they were selling $26 tacos with tarantula as the meat. The reason why they were busted is because it was an endangered tarantula that they were selling in their tacos. Now, you probably have more questions. I cannot answer them yet, but I will when we resolve. My question for you is this Florida? Woody's got the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with a man who was trying to take care of his raccoon problem.
I saw a raccoon on the way into work today, by the way.
Did you really?
Size of a small horse.
Yeah, I mean, they can be quite the pest. In this particular case, some people would trap them, right? Maybe you put bungee cords on your trash can to keep them out of that. He did it a little bit differently. I saw a raccoon that was giving him some problems, and he threw some gasoline on it and then lit a match.
Oh, that's awful.
That is correct. That's why the neighbors called 911, and the 88-year-old man in story number three is behind bars for setting fire to a raccoon for eating his mangoes.
Surprised you didn't give her the old, Chelsea, 7248.
I was thinking about it, but I didn't want to upset
too much.
Frank.
Right. Yes. There are a lot of people, by the way, who are, well, there was another Fez line call on that over the weekend.
Really? Too.
Yeah.
Was it in Florida where a man set fire to a raccoon for eating his mangoes? 844-4WW shows how you can get through. Jeff, what do you think? All three stories actually happened. Which one went down in Florida?
I'm going to have to go with the Blazing Coon.
Yeah.
Blazing Coon.
That is, in fact, Palm Bay, Florida is where the 88-year-old man was like, well, raccoon's been eating my mangoes. I'm going to set him on fire. And everybody in the world went, what? So he is behind bars now.
Story number two, not in this country. Maybe not shockingly after you heard that it was tarantulas and that it was known that it was tarantulas. Mexico, in this place, in this case, is where they were selling tarantula tacos. However, the problem was, it was a red rump tarantula.
Mm.
Anybody know that was a thing?
No.
I thought that was only in certain primates when she was in season that the red rump happened.
They knew that they were selling tarantula tacos, which I guess is okay, but they didn't realize that it was the red rump tarantula, which is a protected species. And so they came into some trouble with the Mexican authorities. $26, by the way, is what they were selling a tarantula taco for. So not only
taco.
Are you eating a tarantula, but you're paying $26 to do it.
Right.
And not even in this country, but the drunken Tinkerbell and Bob the Builder were removed from a Ryanair flight in London, England. They are calling for a 2-drink maximum at all London airports.
We've got some Fez line calls that we need to address. Our voicemail always fills up over the weekend, and we'll get into a couple of those. You're always welcome. At 704-FEZ-3200.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So, our voicemail is there for you. A lot of times something hits you. You have a moment of genius or whatever. You're just drunk. It runs the gamut. You can, let us know your thoughts at 704-FEZ-3200. Last week, pretty tough to take. I got to be honest with you. We found out that Frank from Maine, Chelsea's boyfriend, is not a fan of the continual reference to a muffler bracket on a Pinto.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar, occasionally Woody will share a story and he'll say, yeah, it was the old 7248. Chelsea, what's a 7248? And then Chelsea says, well, it's a muffler bracket on a 72 Pinto. And he says, no, that's the 7249. The 7248 is a raccoon being shaved on the street corner in front of a Slurpee machine.
Right. It's sort of a takeoff on the old Airplane 2 line.
My God!
What's wrong?
They're launching the XR-2300. You know what that is, Doctor?
The muffler bracket for a 79 Pinto?
No. That's the XR-2200. The 2300 is the lunar shuttle.
Right. Exactly. So, after talking about that, we received this over the weekend.
Yeah, Frank's not wrong. The muffler bracket on a Pinto thing is getting older than Wilcox is. I mean, it's not the joke itself. The joke's funny, but switch it up. You know, say something other than muffler bracket on a Pinto. Y'all are smart-ish, I hope. Don't come up with something. Love the show. Bye.
I appreciate how optimistic you are about that. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, the joke wouldn't work at all if you switched it up.
Right.
So either you got to stop doing it or you got to do it the same way every time.
Yep.
The joke doesn't work if it's not a muffler bracket on a 72 Pinto.
Correct.
So thank you for your thoughts. And also over the weekend, something hits you and you think, I got to call the Fez line for that.
Hey, guys. So me and my little kiddo, we got home and we're putting up groceries, or some people around here call it saving groceries. I don't know what the hell I'm supposed to be saving them from.
I've never heard that, by the way. Anybody ever heard that?
No.
Nope.
Going to go save your groceries when you bring them home from the store? Is that what we're talking about?
Never heard that in my life.
Never heard that phrase.
But anyway, and my son asked if he could have a glass of Kool-Aid. So I'll pour him a glass of Kool-Aid. He takes one big sip and he goes, that feels so good on my throat. And I couldn't help it. I just stopped, you know, waited about a second, and I just hollered out, "Cool beans, grab that."
He's not wrong. I do that in my own life, too. Anytime anything happens, it's even remotely.
It's so bad.
Remotely.
Cool beans!
I always either whisper it or sort of mouth it to myself, "Cool beans." All the time. Now, granted, when your son's talking about something feeling good in his throat, I feel like that's a little creepy when you immediately go that way with your son. Mm-hmm. But I'm not mad at you. I feel like that's warranted because you can't help it. When you hear it, you immediately just think, Cool Beans has to grab that. And I don't blame you one bit. So you're always welcome at 704-FEZ-3200, no matter what's on your mind. And, we'll sometimes share with the world if it's warranted. So, Fez line available for you at any time.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Did you guys catch the video that was going around? I think this was last week that I first saw it. It's about a bunch of teenagers that are on some sort of bridge over a lake. And they are, you know, sort of daring each other to jump. It's one of those popular things that I think we all did as kids, right? You're up on a bridge, you're like, yeah, let's see who's got the stones to jump off of this thing. I know when I grew up in Southern California, several places over bays and stuff, we used to jump off of them and swim to shore and just thought we were the coolest thing ever. I bring it up because one of the girls is over the edge and she's getting ready to jump, but like a lot of people, having second thoughts. And that's where we catch the video. As she's sitting there going, "I don't know," and her friends are counting her down, one of her, and I'm using air quotes here, friends just pushes her before she's ready to go. And this is what it sounds like.
Three, no, I won't go on.
Two. Well, she's saying no.
No, I
just... Ready?
Oh,
that's so...
That slap you hear at the end is her belly flopping from about 60 feet up. I'm putting the video so you can see it for yourself on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. 5 broken ribs and a punctured lung, several abrasions just from that fall.
And that's just hitting the water. She didn't, you know, run into the bridge embankment or something.
Correct.
But I mean, how high were they?
60 some odd feet. Is what they're thinking. And what happens is, as she's pushed, obviously she wasn't ready to go. That put her in an awkward body position. She didn't have the ability to, you know, correct it and enter the water in a safer manner. And now they're thinking about criminal charges against the girl who pushed her. And my first thought was, you know, this video hit last week. It's been a week or so plus since this has happened. Why are they still thinking about charging this woman? You basically assaulted her. She's got 5 broken ribs and ended up in the hospital with a punctured lung because you pushed her off this bridge.
Well, somebody could argue that she was already up there with the intention of jumping herself. And, you know, we have friends who try to push you outside of your comfort zone and pump you up and have your back and stuff like that. So
yeah, giving a pep talk and pumping you off is a little bit different than shoving you off a bridge.
You'd have to know more, I think, to sort of put it in context. What else was happening? Was anybody else pushed in? You know, what was the conversation prior to that last few seconds?
The conversation.
I mean,
was,
if you guys really are like best friends or whatever. You might not want to charge that person, even though obviously you'd rather not have broken ribs and lacerations and a punctured lung. You know, if it's really your best friend who pushed you off the bridge, I mean, I can see somebody not wanting to press charges. I don't find that crazy. That depends, too. Is it just somebody you kind of knew? You know, I think all of that plays a role into whether somebody gets charged in that situation.
True.
60 feet into the water, landing with that thud that you heard right there, which is not a good way to enter the water.
It was very similar, I felt like, to the Anchorman splash when Baxter goes over the bridge. which made me feel like maybe the Baxter thing is more realistic than we thought, because we always claim that the Baxter splash is too much. Yeah, that's still too much.
It is. It's too splashy.
Yes.
Especially for a small dog.
Oh, that's so...
That sounds...
That is violent when she hits the water.
Hard door slamming.
Smack.
That's on a cell phone camera from 60 feet away.
Right, yeah.
That is not
right.
Baxter level.
Well, clearly, when Baxter went off the bridge in Anchorman, he was mic'd up. Yeah, that is violent. It sounds like a window breaking almost at the bottom.
Yeah. When asked for comment, the 16-year-old girl who was pushed was like, "Hell yeah, I want her in jail."
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, see, there you go.
It's not a question of, hey, we're good friends or this or that. You can see the video. I just posted it on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. She's like, "I want her in jail thinking about what she did to me." They were friends. They are no longer friends after this incident. You go on Facebook at that point and you click on friend. I'm pretty sure, right? With your one good finger that still works.
I mean, it's an interesting question. That's why I say you have to know what level of friends they were prior to the episode.
How about this, Chelsea? The girl who pushed her has not gone to the hospital to see the injured woman. She did send a text apologizing. Is that enough? Or do you have to go do that in person?
I mean, I feel like we don't know the whole story, though, as well. We don't know her side. Maybe she has, lawyers who advised her or parents to not contact her because who knows? I'm thinking about all the times I've pushed somebody into something or off of something.
Is that a lot of times?
Well, I mean, you've been around pools. I mean, not from 60 feet up, but just think about with your buddies, you're hanging out or whatever. There's somebody not paying attention. Whoop. The pool.
Waiting for the train.
Never push anybody in front of a train.
That just happened, too, by the way. Too soon. Awful. Didn't someone just get killed that way?
Oh, really?
Oh, I just saw that
in the news over the weekend.
Sorry, I didn't see that.
Well, yeah. What do you think's going to happen in that case? I mean, that's not joking.
What do you think's going to happen when you're 60 feet up on a bridge?
Why were they up there to begin with, then?
They were jumping. But there's a difference between controlling yourself and jumping off when you're ready and preparing yourself and getting pushed off at an awkward angle. There's a huge difference. The video's up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page. I'll link to the story as well, because at first she's like, oh no, she shouldn't go to jail. And now a week later, she's like, oh, she should definitely be behind bars.
Do you think that's because somebody's looking for money? Is that part of it? Is it not just the criminal part of it, but is there some sort of lawsuit brewing?
Probably.
If they're friends, but somebody else got involved and was like, you can make some cash on this. You know?
Mm-hmm.
You never know how that plays out. And note to self, do not go to the Grand Canyon with Chelsea.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
There's video you can see. It's up on the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page of an incident that happened, I guess last week is when I first saw it. It's teenagers on top of a bridge in Washington, and they're trying to get the courage up to jump, or at least one of them is trying to get the courage up to jump when somebody pushes her from behind. Her friend does.
Three. No, I won't go in. Two.
Well, she's saying no.
No, I just...
Ready?
That smack you can hear is her belly flopping from about 60 feet up. 5 broken ribs, punctured lung. It's pretty brutal out there.
Video also on the Woody and Wilcox Twitter, at Woody and Wilcox, and obviously you're not going to see it anywhere else.
That's right. Thanks to everybody who's chiming in on Twitter. Canadian-American James said that he read that the girl who pushed her went to the hospital a couple of times but was turned away. I actually didn't read that anywhere. But they're thinking about criminal charges against the woman who pushed her.
Apparently that is true, because she was interviewed, the woman who pushed... we say woman, I guess technically she is. I think she was 18, was on Good Morning America. And Michael Strahan was interviewing her, asking her questions like, why did you push her off?
She wanted to jump and she was scared, and she had asked me to give her a push, and I didn't think about the consequences. I thought she would be fine.
So she asked you to give her a push off the bridge? Because she didn't want to jump.
Yes. Well, she wanted to jump. She just was scared she wouldn't be able to.
And she ended up in a hospital. She had punctured lungs. She had broken ribs.
Yes.
Were you surprised that she was hurt?
I was, but then again, I was with her when she came out of the water, and I knew something was wrong. So it wasn't that big of a surprise, I guess.
And you two had been best friends for years.
We were pretty close, yes.
But now she says she wants you to sit in jail.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you that she said that?
It's surprising. It's a little shocking. but it's understandable. She's probably going through a lot of confusion.
But initially when it happened, you reached out to her at the hospital. You actually went to the hospital.
I went to the hospital.
And what happened there?
I got asked to leave. I wasn't allowed to see her. So I had left and went home.
I don't hear a whole lot of remorse from the pusher, I gotta tell you.
Why, she's on a live camera interview. She's a kid still. I'm at 18, but I think about all the things that you did as a teenager that just 1 second difference could have gone a completely different way. Or were you all perfect? Was I the only slightly reckless one?
You were the only reckless teenager, Chelsea. I'm surprised you're now admitting that.
That's right.
I just feel like we can't really throw stones. A girl made a mistake. I mean, to what extent are you going to, burn her at the stake, so to speak?
But when you make a mistake, Chelsea, you do have to pay a price, right? You agree with that.
I understand that.
If you make a mistake and somebody gets hurt, you may go to jail.
I think what fascinates me the most is the amount of emotion and just opinion and rage around this thing. When I feel like students of this age are hurting each other out in the open, in public, daily, in school, in possibly more long-lasting ways with their words, and people are just, texting in the carpool line. But this girl pushes another girl off a bridge, and it's like, what? How dare she?
Well, it's partly because there's video of it.
I understand, it's just like the way that energy is directed in this country just blows my mind sometimes.
Oh, here we go. Don't do this. Don't do it where there are so many more important things to deal with. You're not allowed to do that. You have to take them each as a thing. You can't say, well, with the world going to hell in a handbasket, why are we focused in on a girl jumping off a bridge? I mean, you can't, of course, anytime anything happens, it doesn't compare to the world's problems. You can't look at it that way, but that is what you said, right?
I didn't even get to the world's problems. You filled it in for me.
Well, you said, I can't believe what we're focused on in this country.
I'm saying with the issues going on with schools and bullying and everything else, it's interesting. It's of note to me what people get worked up about.
Ron on Twitter, as much as I hate to agree with Woody, it really seems like Wilcox and Chelsea have never jumped off a bridge. If you have, you'd know exactly how tough this video is to watch. And how about the guy who says awesome at the end?
Right.
That's again.
I don't think the guy I didn't catch him saying awesome.
I didn't hear awesome.
I think he was saying something else and it got cut or something. Well, at least I didn't hear awesome. You're welcome on the voicemail too at 704-FEZ-3200.
Yeah, I just want to chime in about the girl on the bridge. I don't care how good of friends that I was with this girl prior. If I punctured a lung, I would be livid. I don't care if we went to prom together I don't care. There's nothing in this world, 5, 10, 20 years of friendship that is going to save that girl from me being pissed the hell off. There's no way. And as far as money goes, you know what? If she didn't realize she could get some money, oh, well, because she is a victim. She did get hurt. And that's about as far as I go with that. I think that... if you get hurt to that extent, I don't care who does it. I'm going to be mad.
By the way, I got this on Twitter. Like my mama used to say, quote, if all your friends are jumping off a bridge, .. your best friend's going to push you off? ? That sounds like something Wilcox would say. Thanks to Luxury Chicken Diapers tweeting that one in. At Woody and Wilcox, of course, on Twitter.
Somebody named Luxury Chicken Diapers is following us on Twitter.
Damn right.
Awesome.
Always correct.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I feel like I want to address this situation a little bit further. It's the story that you've probably heard because it came out last week, and it's the two girls among a bunch of friends who are thinking about jumping off a bridge into a body of water, mm-hmm. and the one girl ends up pushing the other girl when she's not expecting it. And it's 60 feet down to the water.
Three.
No, I won't
go in.
Two.
Well, she's
saying no.
No,
I just...
Ready?
Oh! Oh,
that's so... she ends up breaking like 5 ribs, having a punctured lung, other lacerations, obviously hospital and so forth. And initially, it was just sort of a wild viral video, and there were questions, but it was only in the last little while that it's now been announced that the pusher may be facing, what do they say, up to a year in jail?
Yes. Yeah, depending upon what charges they're thinking about bringing.
And we heard she was on Good Morning America and was interviewed and said, oh, you know, she wanted to jump, she just needed a push, and she had told me she wanted a push if she didn't jump and that sort of thing. So they're friends. But now, obviously, this has this has caused maybe a little bit of a rift.
Here's the pusher talking about potential charges.
It's scary. I mean, I accept whatever the prosecutor thinks is best for me, considering I caused not only bodily harm, but emotional trauma as well. But I just hope for the best, and I'll accept whatever the prosecutor, I guess, gives me.
I guess at the end of the day, you just hope your friend is okay.
Yeah.
Taylor, sure. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Sure. You're welcome to ring in. You know, the Fez line is there for you at 704-FEZ-3200.
I'm sure if they were playing the Woody and Wilcox show, she'd have jumped off that bridge real quick.
All right. Yes. Right.
I like it.
As far as it took you so long to get to that, for crying out loud. And thank you to Chuck Diapers, famous newsman, ringing in. I caught up with the belly flopping girl's dentist, by the way, guys, and he said she's going to need some bridge work.
Step into my office. Because you're fucking fired.
No. I'm not going to allow something like that.
Oh,
to happen.
Really? You're not going to allow it?
That's how bad it is.
You're not
really
going to allow
That's
it.
That's how bad it is.
You know, I mean, think about it. I think we've all done similar things. Maybe not pushed a friend off a bridge at 60 feet, but
I pushed my brother off a rock. It was like 4 feet, and he ended up with 14 stitches in his leg because of my pushing.
We've just done so many ridiculous things, especially in that age range.
And you didn't go to jail for that.
Not that I know of. Right. I was young at the time. It was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm. Taylor on Twitter, I can understand being young and making mistakes, but an 18-year-old should be competent enough to judge whether or not it's okay to push their friend off a bridge.
Well, that I hate that argument for one reason. It's not at midnight when you're 17 on your birthday, you become 18 years old. There's not some magical spell that happens that suddenly makes your brain function correctly. All of us develop differently. Mm-hmm. Maybe, Taylor, at 18, you made smart decisions. I am not 18 anymore and still don't make smart decisions.
Right, I still struggle.
On a daily basis. And so, you know, that magical, you're 18 and an adult and you should know better, it just doesn't hold water with me.
And something about the group mentality, I feel like, changes something, or the adrenaline, or, you know.
For sure.
It's easier to make poor decisions in a group.
What about this? On the Woody and Wilcox Facebook page, Jason says, I think she was chickening out and the girl behind her said, screw it, and pushed her. It happens. If this was a guy, no one would have cared. They just would have posted it on Fail
If what was a guy?
If the person who was pushed was a guy and got hurt, we'd all be looking at this video and laughing. As opposed to, oh my God, she broke 5 ribs and punctured lung. Do you think if the sexes were changed, it suddenly changes anything? I don't think it does.
Would we even hear about this?
I think there's some validity. I think that's probably right. And because it seems like something that you see guys do to one another all the time. Mm-hmm. Whereas seeing, I guess, two girls do it to one another, pardon the expression. You don't see as often. I mean, I don't know that it changes anything about the legality of it.
844,
but I think it's something that makes it more viral because it is girls. Mm-hmm. Or a girl. What if it was a guy pushing a girl?
Did you ever have an incident like this in your life, whether you were the pusher or the pushy?
Remember when I told the story before, when my buddy threw a dart and hit me in the leg and went all the way, you know, all the way up, so to speak. Into the, you know,
to the dart,
into the hilt. Exactly. Really? Luckily, that did no damage. But, you know, if it had, would I have sued my buddy? You know, I don't know. I wasn't 18. We were younger than that.
But let's say
I got into fights with one of my best friends and we threw rocks at each other. Luckily, we weren't good enough to connect. Nobody ever hit anybody. But if you had of it, would have done some serious damage. Mm-hmm. I mean, that guy's my best friend to this day. So, I mean, I don't know. We weren't 18. So we weren't, maybe we should have known better. By the way, the Fez line, 704-FEZ-3200 again.
Hey, when that girl hit the water, I wonder if she made a noise that sounded like this.
It's a great question.
I'm sure there was.
I don't know that we will we'll ever know the answer to that one.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
All right, so thanks to everybody who's contributing on the topic at hand, and I think we obviously, like many things, we're going to solve this and going to move right on, and we're going to tell the authorities that we've solved all of the problems. Of the girl who got pushed off the bridge, you may have seen the video by now. It's up on our Facebook and Twitter, and these were kids, and they were standing on the edge of a bridge, and you know, one of them was like, before the other one was ready, pushed her in, and she fell 60 feet. So it was quite a jump to begin with.
Right.
Broken ribs, punctured lung, and other issues. And the reason why it's become a little bit more interesting, I think, is because everybody's now seen the video. So it's one of those things. And now apparently they're discussing pressing charges against the girl's friend who pushed her in. Where I think why it's become interesting is because that all of us at some point usually have done something with friends that could have gotten someone injured.
Absolutely.
That you thought was funny. And I think so at the base level of it, everybody can sort of relate to it, is why it's interesting to people. A lot of people call on the Fez line, our voicemail at 704-FEZ-3200.
Woody, Wilcox, Chelsea. My name is David, long-time listener. I guess I consider it my daily punishment. They can only get better from listening to y'all in the morning, so... Just a different perspective on this girl getting pushed off the bridge. You know, I've been in the criminal justice system my entire career, 25 years. And just from a pure criminal justice perspective, you look at it and you go with intent. You know, especially since the one girl is claiming, yeah, she asked me to push her off. I mean, you've got that. And then criminal intent. Was there any intent to actually do harm to the girl that got pushed off the bridge? And I think you have a hard time selling that in any court of law. But there you go. My 2 cents worth. Y'all have a great morning. Bye.
So, and other people on Twitter saying, what if she didn't get hurt? Then would we even know anything about this? And would the other girl get in trouble? I don't know if you can say that, though. Isn't that sort of like saying, what if I didn't shoot you, then would I get in trouble? No, because you didn't shoot me. I don't know what the answer to that is, right? So if you push somebody off a bridge and they're fine, or you push somebody off a bridge, same situation, and they get injured, one of them is criminal and one of them isn't, I think is what this person is saying on Twitter. Frankly, it's too early for me to think like that.
I
feel like
lot.
A tree fell in the woods, and I don't know if I heard it or not.
I like what Chris says on the Facebook page. I've jumped off of and out of a lot of stuff, both professionally and drunk. She's the one that climbed over the rail and put herself there in that position. When you play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. Try not panicking, learn from this, and try tucking next time. Stop being a victim of your own creation.
So it's her fault for not being able to land properly.
There's not an adult alive who shouldn't have died at least once in their teens.
That's what I'm saying.
Imagine if Steve-O pressed charges against Johnny Knoxville.
Well.
He brings up a better point than the tree falling.
I'll grant you that.
It's a little bit more
the
clear.
The Steve-O Johnny Knoxville thing, I don't feel like that's a better point. I mean, they're agreeing to film one another destroying each other. I'm sure there were, you know,
yes,
consent forms signed. It's by somebody.
Safe word.
I don't know that there could be, but you know, it is of a similar variety, but not of any sort of agreed to scenario. All right. Well, I think we've solved it. So yep. that's the good part. What were we going to get to next?
Something about a hamster in a trash can and a photo.
Yeah, I wasn't going to tease it that way, but you're right. That is what we were going to get to next. Chelsea has had something happening in her home. that I was kind of blown away has been going on for as long as it has. And I would imagine that it's something that you could relate to as well if you've lived on the planet for very long. And Woody has alluded to what it involves, but wait until you hear the full details. We'll get into that next.
Woody and Wilcox. The Woody and Wilcox Show.
I'll let Chelsea describe the important details to this, but this is something behind the scenes that Chelsea has been talking about periodically, I feel like for months, but I guess it's only been, how long, Chelsea? A week in this case?
Yes.
Chelsea, of course, has a 5-year-old son, and they consequently have a pet hamster, which is what you do when you have young children in the house, traditionally.
It's awful.
This is like, what, how many hamsters in are we? Is this a fourth or fifth?
Let's go step at a time on this, because what we're talking about here is, like with so many, and when I say so many, I mean every person who's ever had a hamster has had it get out of its cage somehow and become rogue.
Yes.
On RH.
Now,
rogue hamster.
In so many cases, hamster gets out of its cage or is out of its cage and you all of a sudden lose it and that's it. Never to be heard from again. This happens to so many people. You just, got out.
Yeah.
Got under a bookcase and didn't get out and died, you know, whatever the case may be. But Chelsea has, I think, the less common case of a week ago, their hamster got out, but is thriving and like just periodically is popping up places. And it was funny because over the weekend, Chelsea sent a picture and apparently her sister, who, you know, lives with them and had a friend over and they were doing something. And all of a sudden the friend opened the trash can and like, ba-boom, the hamster was like, I'm in the trash. I'm woo-hoo. It's like if he had little six guns, he'd be firing them off. Look at me.
He would.
Pew, 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 pew. So like this is the exception to the rule where your hamster gets out and is just like loving every minute of it.
Does your hamster have an Instagram page? Is he like, you know, is he posting updates going, check out my story?
I wish he could do something.
Which, by the way, though, imagine you're at a friend's house and you open their trash can and a rodent comes out, just like flies out of it.
We're not friends anymore.
It jumped out onto her foot.
Oh,
and I don't know if it makes it better.
I mean, come on.
To hear her.
Because at first you don't realize that it's the pet hamster that's gone rogue. You just think, oh my God, my friend has a rat in the trash can inside their house.
I forgot to tell my sister to tell her about the situation with the hamster.
Well, why would you know? I mean, you would forget. Do you anticipate always seeing him around every corner? Now you probably do, but prior to that, did you?
But I feel like if you're coming to someone's house, and I've known this girl since she was three. She's not a stranger to me. So I feel like you deserve to give your guest a heads up. Like, hey, just want to warn you, there's a hamster somewhere in this house.
But I don't think I've ever heard of somebody losing a small animal like this and having them continue to show up. What Wilcox started with was you lose the hamster and either your nose tells you where it is in a week or a couple of days, or they go off into the hamster oblivion, right? You just never see or smell or hear from them again.
Well, you guys may remember that did happen to, I believe it was hamster one. Hamster one or two, very tiny hamster. Don't get those. Very difficult to catch. So he's gone. I'm convinced he's in Dylan's room somewhere. Months later, I'm moving a bin, like a canvas bin of something. Scream. Flat hamster. Flat hamster.
Right. He died. So, I mean, that's the way you usually if you do find them after they escape, they're dead. Or they just usually get out. Or like Woody said, the hamster monster comes and gets them. And then you never hear from them again.
Right.
But I feel like Chelsea's situation is the unusual one where he just becomes a roommate.
He's like,
you come in the middle of the night and he's like getting milk out of the fridge.
Probably.
Hey, what's up?
You've heard stories about this hamster in particular, like what an a-hole he is. I'm catching him before work all the time. It feels like he's an escape artist. He's a huge hamster. When he jumped out.
Are you sure it's a hamster? I thought all hamsters were tiny.
This one's a big one. So,
Cool beans. We're going to need that.
I mean, it says it was a hamster. It looks like a hamster. No, I don't think they're all the same size. Plus, this one eats so much. I'm probably killing him with food. I don't care, though. Like, I'm at that point with this hamster.
So hey, before you continue, 844-4WW-SHOW, did you have a pet that you keep in a cage that somehow got out and then continued to live in your home? Or something. I want to hear those stories because I feel like that's the exception to the rule.
Well, I'd had it with this hamster. So it was a week ago, like probably in the middle of the night. It was like 3:30 in the morning. I'm in the kitchen. I hear a noise in the laundry room, shine a light, and there he is.
Typing away. He's writing a book.
Doing his laundry.
Taking a selfie.
Doing a little word processing.
I'm like, not you again. And I was just over it. Like, we're getting ready to move. I'm like, you know what? He'll make his way back to his cage. We'll catch him if he comes into our path. But I am not having it out with this hamster right now. I'm done. It's good luck to you, dude. If you want to live, then show back up. I just can't.
Have you thought about HE?
Hamster elimination?
Yes, good job.
Yes, but I don't know how Dylan's going to take it. I think he doesn't care about the hamster anyway.
He doesn't care because the animal's running around the house.
Rat trap.
No. No. That would be very upset. He's been caught now, for now. I have tried to give away the hamster.
If you're giving away the hamster, 844-4WW-SHOW.
She was giving away the hamster at the 50-yard line of the football field.
Like, that was a long time ago. He hisses, too. Like, he's just not a cool dude.
He hisses?
Yes.
More proof that this is not a hamster. I don't think so.
It's a hissing hamster?
I'm not an expert on hamsters, but I don't recall hissing.
I don't know if he gets freaked out or what, but God forbid you pick him up to put him in that
That's
ball.
That's hissing with an H, by the way.
Right. You put him in that ball, and he'll like get up on his back legs and ask Frank. He knows about this hamster and my struggles with it.
I will not ask Frank about the hamster.
Well, usually, I back up on this.
Hissing hamster is feeling scared, nervous, or threatened.
Well, thanks, Mr. Science. No, I thought he was happy when he was hissing at me. Yes, he's feeling threatened.
I guess Woody's point is they do apparently hiss.
I didn't know they hissed. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You know what it is that Chelsea's the only one who can make a hamster mad enough. I mean, I had a hamster as a child, but I don't think I was ever able to irritate him enough to get him to hiss.
All I did was pick him up. That's it. Try to put him in a ball.
Chelsea's over there pushing hamster buttons. You knew his hot button.
Hamster buttons is the name of your new band.
So once he landed on friend's foot,
mm-hmm.
What was the, how did it go from there?
Well, apparently he somehow got caught up in her sandal and all the chaos, and my sister's trying to help catch him, but she's laughing hysterically also, so not really much help there. That's what I said. Like, he's fat, but he's fast.
Mm. They used to say about Woody.
Yeah, they still say that. Ashley, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's up?
Yeah, I had a hamster when I was about 10 years old, and he was an escape artist. He would get out every single week in the middle of the night, somehow get up on my bed when I was sleeping and run across my body and wake me up.
Nope.
Every week. Yeah. And it got so bad, I had to put books on top of his cage so he couldn't get out anymore.
Uh-huh. That was my question, is how is he getting out? I wonder that in Chelsea's case and in your case. Honestly, it happens a couple of times, don't you sort of buckle down and figure out a way to secure that cage?
Yeah, that's why I put books on top of it, because literally I would wake up, like, almost pee my pants and start screaming every time.
Absolutely.
I don't know how he got out. I have no idea. That thing was the devil, I think.
This one, Dylan's hobby fire, his hamster, he's got, like, a party palace.
I'm sorry, what now?
What's a hobby fire?
That's his name. His name's Hobby Fire. Sorry. That's the hamster's name.
I thought it was that. That's the name of a giant fire in California right now, isn't it?
Ask
How
Dylan.
Insensitive.
My point is that he has one of those cages. It's not just here's an entrance and, it's not wire. It's got all those colored tubes going everywhere and an extra section. And I think that he gets his fat body in one of the tubes and, like, shimmies it loose. He's a hoarder. He does all kinds of weird stuff.
Ashley, we appreciate the call. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way you can get through.
I feel like we can help, and this doesn't have to be limited to hamsters, by the way.
Right.
If, you know, if you've had other creatures that you theoretically owned that ended up owning you, 844-4WW-SHOW. A lot of people calling in. I want to take your calls, but we got to do this first.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
So Chelsea was talking a second ago about how their pet hamster got out, apparently. And unlike most of the time, I feel like, he didn't just disappear or turn up dead 3 days later. He's alive and loving every minute of it. Yep. And over the weekend, they had a friend over. The friend opened the trash can to throw something away, and boom, he jumped out of the trash can and landed on her foot. And it was chaos, as you can imagine, because at first you don't know that it's a hamster.
Right.
Because Chelsea and her sister aren't warning everyone that comes in the door. Hamster alert. I mean, it just happens. Yeah. 844-4WW-SHOW, the way that you can get through. If you've had a maybe a similar type of situation, doesn't have to be a hamster, obviously. And I guess in Tabitha's case, it's not a hamster. Tabitha, what's your story?
I lived with this girl who had a pet rabbit. And she kept it in our kitchen in this hutch thing that she made. And it was wicked gross. Like, she never cleaned up after. It was so nasty. Ugh. So finally we came to an agreement that she would build it a hutch outside. Well, in the meantime, she thought it would be a great idea to move it to the basement. And it figured out how to get out of its cage, and it would be roaming the basement. So you'd go downstairs to do, like, laundry, and you'd hear creepy noises because this was a basement filled with, like, just crap. So the rabbit could be anywhere at any time. Well, one day I came downstairs with a load of laundry, and the rabbit was sitting by the washing machine. So I'm like, okay, you know, no problem. Hey, baby, how are you? Talking to the rabbit, trying to keep it all calm. And it charged me and bit my leg.
What?
It drew blood.
It's like a Monty Python sketch.
It's so scary.
Look at the rabbit with the fangs.
Exactly.
Is it behind the rabbit? It is the rabbit.
So I immediately freak out, kick the rabbit, run up the stairs, shut the door. And yeah, when she came home that night, I was like, you either put the rabbit outside or the next time I see it, I'm going to punt it like a football because your rabbit's crazy.
I didn't know a rabbit would attack you.
I didn't know that either.
I had no clue until that moment that rabbits attacked. I still have a scar on my leg, and that was like 15, 20 years ago.
I mean, I guess he was pissed because the basement was dirty, right? And he wasn't...
I guess he looked all creepy, too. He had, like, cobwebs on him and stuff. It was, like, zombie rabbit.
Oh, no.
Poor guy.
Oh. Wow. So, today we've learned that hamsters can hiss and that a rabbit will charge you.
Right.
Yes, and attack viciously.
Tabitha, thank you for the story. We appreciate that.
You're welcome. You guys have a great day.
You too. 844-4WW-SHOW.
A rabbit while you're doing your laundry.
Never heard of that.
I wonder if she, I didn't ask her if she looks sort of like a carrot. That's the only thing I can imagine, right?
You were going to ask Tabitha. Okay,
I'm
she
really
looks
glad you
like
didn't.
A carrot.
I mean, you just
like
saying
that's a
it.
Pertinent question.
No.
No.
844-4WW-SHOW, the way that you can get through.
Amy has a hamster story that we have to hear. Cool Beans is saying, take Amy, but Amy, hang on. We're going to get your call on, and I've got a phone line open for you at 844-4WW-SHOW.
And if you get in now, I may ask you if you look like a carrot.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Chelsea told a story a little bit earlier about their pet hamster escaping, and apparently it escaped about a week ago. And unlike so many of those stories where it ends up either A, never seen again, or B, found dead several days later, in this case, he's living his best life, yep, chilling and rocking and rolling through Chelsea's house, including over the weekend, leaping out of the trash can unexpectedly onto a visitor's foot. So we're taking your stories about your caged animal that has escaped and what it has done in the home. I thought it was a little bit more rare than apparently it is. And Kathy is apparently going to tell us yet another story, although hers seems a little bit different. Hey, Kathy.
Hey, how are you?
We're good. What's your story?
Well, my son wanted a hamster, so I got him a hamster and a plastic container to put him in.
Mm-hmm.
And he ate through the plastic container, and he was missing. And for about a week, we could not find him. And then I went to put my $250 boot on, and he had gotten in that and couldn't get out. And so he chewed his way out of that, out of the tote.
No.
So by that time, I'm furious. And I'm like, this thing's got to go. So one night, we're asleep, and he sets off the alarm. So I'm going down the hall with a gun, thinking someone's in my house. And there goes that hamster across that thing. And I'm like, this thing's got to go.
What caliber are we talking about? Did you think about taking a shot at the hamster at that point?
You're gonna laugh, because I was actually talking to whoever was in my house saying, I'm getting ready to blow you away. I don't know how you got in, but you better go, because I'm getting ready to kill you.
Now,
and there goes that hamster across the floor, and I'm like, oh, my God.
So I'm guessing you must have some sort of alarm system that has a motion detector. Is that how he set it off?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, well, what, did you open the window? That's a big-ass hamster. These tripwires.
It is a motion, and it's on the floor, like if someone crossed a room or whatever, then it goes off, and so the hamster will set that off. And so it was probably about a month later, he appears in my kitchen, and my son is going away for the weekend, and I opened the back door, and I freed him. I was like, you're gone. You've torn up 250. You wake us up in the middle of the night. We still can't catch you. So you're gone. And so I took a broom, and I scoot him out the back door. So my son came back home, and he said, did you find the hamster? I said, oh, my goodness, opened the back door, and he went out. So he's free. He just did not want to stay here in this little cage. We had to let him be free. And he was like, okay, Mom. So that worked out.
Nice. See, Chelsea, it could be worse. It could be worse.
You know, it does happen. You know, it happens.
Kathy,
but
thank you so much.
We never got another hamster again.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, I know.
I don't want to hear that.
Yeah. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Kathy. We appreciate it. 844-4WW-SHOW, the ways that you can get through.
I think Amy has something for us at 844-4WW-SHOW. Amy, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's up?
I can totally sympathize with Chelsea. The hamster that we used to have that was given us so graciously by a teacher, and when she gave it to us, it had like one of those play palaces on top of it too for the hamster.
Mm-hmm.
It had been like duct taped in like 100 places, and I'm like, why does she have this duct tape like this? Well, as soon as we got the hamster, I figured it out, because he was a bastard and he would chew through the duct tape and get out. And every single night, the stupid hamster would get out. It chewed on furniture, and then it would go back into the cage in the morning.
Oh, they do. These hamsters party at night. Like, we've had to move him into the hallway before, because he'll get on that wheel and choo, just going. And if they can get out, they're inviting their friends. They're probably doing drugs. They're having a full night while you're trying to sleep.
Exactly. And this, of course, was the longest living hamster on Earth. So it lived for like 6 years.
Oh my God.
Yes, and he, by the time his poor soul passed away, he was like, only had one leg that worked and one eye that worked, and I had to find a vet's office that would like euthanize him, because I felt so bad for him. But it was like he had like partied too hard throughout his life, and so he was just completely disabled.
It was like the Keith Richards of hamsters.
Pretty much.
Yes. So I can sympathize with you, Chelsea, and this hamster, I swear to you, it probably weighed 10 pounds.
This one's a big one.
10 pounds. Yeah.
10 pound hamster.
So yes, they have huge butts. So I don't know how they squeeze it through the tiny spots that they go in.
You squeeze through these tubes. I'm like, you're going to get stuck
huge
and die.
Hamsters in my new bed.
Oh, my gosh. Right,
slow down.
Please, I can't handle this. Hamster cannot live for 6 years. I don't have it in me. I just don't.
I did. Somebody did tell me, instead of taking it to the vet to get it euthanized, I could put it in the freezer. Just FYI.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, I suppose that would work. You could also hit him in the head with a hammer, too.
I didn't do it. I'm just saying someone told me that.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it's funny that someone would be like, well, here's what you do. Put him in the freezer. I assume there's any number of things you could do to kill a hamster. Shoot him. That'd work, too.
Amy, we appreciate the call. 844-4WW-SHOW.
is just somebody screwing with you.
Hamster got back.
She's going to put the one-eyed hamster in the freezer.
The big-butted one-eyed
hamster. You're putting the one-eyed hamster in the freezer, 844-4WW-SHOW. You know what I'm saying? We got to take Barbara before we take a break here. 844-4WW-SHOW.
Barbara?
Yes.
You're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's up?
Well, I have a friend about a coworker who lived in Arizona and had a turtle. She moved to Seattle, and she was concerned that her turtle would be cold. So I don't know how, but she knitted her turtle a sweater. I don't know why or how, but she did.
Time out.
Your friend had a pet turtle and then thought it might be cold and knitted it a sweater.
Knitted it. Sweater.
And can I ask, was it a turtleneck sweater?
Ah.
I think it was a cardigan, actually.
Really?
But
they're so tough to do the buttons. They don't have their hands.
I don't even know where you get a pattern to make a turtle sweater, but the turtle escaped twice. I don't know how a turtle runs away, but he did run away and get out of the house twice. They got him back, and at the third time, he jumped off a second-story balcony. And my question was, did he have a note pinned to his sweater?
Wait a second. You thought that the turtle was committing suicide because he had to wear a sweater?
I mean, this poor turtle, I mean, must have been scorching hot, tried to get away twice, and just gave up and just took off the balcony and down he went, and that was the end of the turtle. So my advice is never to knit a turtle a sweater.
I feel like that is solid advice.
If you knit your turtle a sweater, it will become suicidal.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
And by the way, you described it as jumping off of a second floor balcony, which in my mind is not what a turtle does. It just sort of puts one foot over and pass over tea kettle.
since he escaped twice, and I don't know how a turtle was slow as they are to escape, I'm thinking he really just jumped. He just said, you know what, they're going to try and catch me again.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna take off and jump. But yes, that's my advice to everyone. Don't knit a turtle a sweater.
I feel like that is good. Thank you, Barbara.
You should put that on a coffee cup.
Yep.
Yeah, you'd make $1 million. Mm. Barbara, we appreciate the call. 844-4WW-SHOW. If you've knitted your turtle a sweater.
I feel like that story is going to be life-changing for me.
Right.
Never going to look at turtles the same way again.
I mean, start with a dicky and then work your way up to the, you know, is what I'm saying.
Turtle dicky?
Yeah. Right. I mean, it's just not so, you know, there's not as much coverage. If he reacts well to the dicky,
gotta tuck that in.
How are you gonna tuck that?
Then you can go cardigan, but you don't just go full cardigan on a turtle right away. You know what I'm saying?
Common sense.
Then give him an ascot. 844-4WW-SHOW is the way that you can get through your odd pet escape stories. That's apparently what we're doing. And welcome on the Fez line too at 704-FEZ-3200.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Chelsea is living with a hamster now. This is how she's decided to live out her days.
Well, no, she's living with Frank, and they have a hamster that also lives in the house but doesn't pay rent.
Right. Their hamster escaped, and unlike most times when it just disappears or you find it dead a couple of days later, he is thriving and is enjoying life to the fullest. Mm-hmm. And it was highlighted when, over the weekend, unexpectedly, he leapt out of the trash can onto a visitor's foot. And that's just one of the many things that's been going on at Chelsea's house. So it's good times.
Mm-hmm.
844-4WW-SHOW. By the way, I did want to give a shout out. We are now being followed on Twitter by Big Booty Hamster. Wow. I can't remember which caller it was who referenced the hamster with the big butt that they had. I assume that's where that comes from. His first tweet was, anyone up for running on my wheel tonight? So thank you, Big Booty Hamster, for following along. The icon?
Yes.
It's the backside of a hamster.
That's about right.
That's quick. That's good work.
That's great work. 844-4WW-SHOW. Steven's got something for us. Steven, you're on with Woody and Wilcox. What's up, man?
My sister had a pet snake.
and it was a coral king snake. It was black, yellow, and red. And nobody in the family was fond of this snake. I don't even know how my parents agreed to let my sister get the snake.
Right.
But somehow it got out of its little aquarium, and the snake was probably only about a foot and a half long, and it was gone literally for a month. Nobody had seen the snake. Assumed the snake had gotten out of the house and died. But about a month later, me and my mom and dad were all in our den watching TV, and out of nowhere, we had a fireplace and a hearth and, you know, carpet, and the snake came out of the carpet in between the carpet and the fireplace that was brick and just slithered up the hearth. My dad, who's terrified of snakes, got up and ran out of the house. And I'm talking to my dad, 6'5", I mean, a big fella, and he got up and literally ran and left me and my mom.
I don't blame him. The snakes are sneaky.
Did he make a very high-pitched sound while he was doing it?
Probably so. You know, like I said, none of us were too happy. We were all pretty shocked. We didn't get up and run, but, you know, I think he about knocked over my mom trying to get out of the house.
Chelsea, imagine having a snake living in your house for a month.
No.
You know what he could do?
He could eat the hamster.
Yeah, maybe you should get a snake.
All right.
No.
Great idea.
Nope.
Yeah, man.
Stephen, appreciate the call. 844-4WW-SHOW. Then you'd have to get something to get the snake, Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of that.
Yeah.
Never process.
Don't put any snakes around me.
Well, I feel like we've probably solved it. So thank you for all of the calls. If you want to still get in, the Fez line is there for you at 704-FEZ-3200. We did have some great calls if you're just joining us. So that'll be available on the podcast. We'll be tweeting that stuff out. So follow along at Woody and Wilcox on Twitter. But then you can also go to the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. Coming up next, a couple of important things will be learned, and I think you'll feel better about your own life when we play a round of It Happened in Florida.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Three stories here that Woody and I are going to share as part of what we call It Happened in Florida. They're all true stories. Could have happened anywhere all over the world, though. And you got to spot the Florida story because, you know, Florida, they consistently crank out the insanity. And so we tip the cap to Florida with this game. Woody will start us off with story number one.
We have a lot of respect for the men and women who are police officers in this country. And we understand that one of the most dangerous calls that you can go out on as a police officer is a 7422. Chelsea, 7422.
Muffler bracket on a Pinto.
No.
Never let it go.
It's a 7423. The 7422 is a topless 81-year-old woman drinking boxed wine in the park. You know,
right.
One of the most dangerous police calls you can go on.
Damn right.
It happened at 7:40 in the morning last Thursday.
That sounded like you said a topless 81-year-old woman drinking boxed wine in the park. What did you really say?
Somebody called the cops because there was an 81-year-old woman sitting on a bench in a park, fully topless, drinking pink Franzia wine straight from the box.
If that's not a warning for me in my life, I don't know what is.
Right. Say, Chelsea, this is a look into the future.
Yep.
Life goals.
No. I don't want to be a topless 81-year-old woman at 7:40.
When the cops approached her, she started to try and spray them with her wine. I don't know how you would do that. I guess you squeeze the bag.
Or maybe it's in her mouth.
Could have been. She was arrested for disorderly intoxication. Was it in Florida where cops had to arrest an 81-year-old topless woman drinking boxed wine in the park?
At 7:40 a.m.
Story number two has to do with what happens on a golf course. Those of you that are golfers, maybe you can see where I'm going with this. But in story number two, somebody was arrested for something they did on a golf course. Now, think about it in your head. What might somebody do on a golf course that would be illegal? Enough, by the way, that you could face up to 20 years in prison.
Take an underage girl there to make out with her in the nighttime?
Nope. That's not correct, Chelsea. Sorry, I can't accept that one.
Was it golf cart related? Did they run over somebody with a golf cart?
Golf cart related, running over somebody.
No. Like a vehicle, hit and run vehicle accident type of thing.
He's being charged with mayhem, malicious intent to maim or disfigure, after biting off another man's thumb.
When you said biting off another man's, I was like, oh no.
I feel like
golf has changed.
That's a crime, regardless of whether you do it at a golf course or not.
I'm going to agree with you on that, Chelsea. That's right. The man said he took, or apparently, not the man said, he took the guy's thumb off down to the knuckle. They had a disagreement, needless to say, on the golf course. I assume about whose turn it was. Your Honor, Your Honor. Oh, really? Give me your thumb. Now, your question could be, how did it get that far with the dude's thumb in his mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Did he ask him, hey, can I see your thumb for a second, and then bit it off? What was the scenario that led to a man having another man's thumb in his mouth? He said, pretending like he doesn't know the answer. Apparently, they were able to put the thumb on ice, but we don't have any details on whether they've been able to reattach the thumb. Were they golfing in Florida when a man was charged with mayhem and may face 20 years in prison? Woody's got the third and final.
Third and final story has to do with the police asking for the public's help in identifying whoever is placing photos of actor Nicolas Cage next to piles of dog poop.
What are you saying?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
So there's a greenway, and people like to walk and ride their bikes up and down the greenway, and some people are walking their dogs, and apparently there's been people who are not picking up after their dog drops anchor. And a local resident has taken it upon him or herself to print out photographs of Nicolas Cage from various movies and then tape them to sticks, and they are then placed right next to the dog poop. Don't know if it's a commentary on Nicolas Cage's acting or anything else. The police would like them to stop. They say it's comical, but it starts to get on a slippery slope. When you're pointing out one kind of litter with another kind of litter, you're not doing the city any justice. After all, if you're going through the time to place a picture of Nicolas Cage, why don't you just pick it up yourself? Is it in Florida where someone has been sticking photos of actor Nicolas Cage next to piles of dog poop? 844-4WW-SHOW. Pete is up first to try and solve our quiz. Pete, all three stories actually have happened. Which one went down in Florida, do you think?
Number two.
You're going to go with story number two. No, sorry.
Oh.
Nope. Massachusetts is where the dude apparently bit off another guy's thumb in some sort of disagreement. By the way, I've got some audio of the incident here as described on the scanner, I believe, or in the 911 call.
Be advised, an update from the PD. Apparently, there's two foursomes that got into an altercation, and there's been a finger that's been bitten off.
The victim's laying down on the main entrance road in between a cluster of three golf carts.
It's not a call I would assume you get a whole lot.
Right. Steve, 50-50 shot for you. What do you think?
Hey, man, I don't know. I'm thinking story number one.
Story number one, yeah. St. Petersburg, Florida is where you're an 81-year-old topless woman drinking Franzia in the park before trying to spray the cops. And Roanoke, Virginia is where somebody has been placing photographs of actor Nicolas Cage next to piles of dog poop.
I actually have some audio of the 911 calling the old woman as well.
We'll probably sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
I'm going to allow it.
It sounds familiar. I can't quite place it. Here's the actual audio.
I would rather have brief anonymous sex than have any stranger touch my belly button.
Sorry, that's not the right one. Here's the actual audio from the golfers and the thumb incident.
I want my female golfers to be flat-chested and unattractive.
Maybe I don't have it. Is this it?
Tiny balls.
Nope, don't have it. Sorry about that.
Ian Wilcox Show.
You know, a lot of people were asking about this and maybe had forgotten that last night was the night. What night you're saying, Wilcox?
Go, go, go. Run with my sharp needle. It's the greatest go, go, go. So wanna get even.
I will say, I don't think it got as much pre-publicity as it has in the past, partly by us, and I think partly by others as well. Probably everybody was ready to be done with it.
I think we were ready to be done with it after the second one.
I'm talking, of course, about Sharknado. The final ever, apparently, installment of the Sharknado series happened last night on the Sci-Fi Channel. The Last Sharknado, It's About Time, was the name of it. Sharknado. Of course, they had to do something to top whatever they had done in the past, and it wasn't easy because they had kind of explored all avenues and made it as wacky as possible. Last night, they got into time travel. That was what happened. They went back in time to try and prevent Sharknados from ever happening. And so they did what anybody would do. They talked to George Washington about, you know, Sharknados and such.
Hey, didn't they go all the way back to the dinosaurs? I saw some kind of still of that. Like,
I'll be honest with you. I also did not watch it.
Okay.
I did record it. And obviously, I'm going to watch it numerous times and take copious notes.
Thank you.
But I've been grabbing audio just off the web, honestly.
And is it true that they're getting rid of history classes in American high schools and you're just going to be showing Sharknado?
I don't know if there's any truth to that, although I feel like that's a great idea. By the way, George Washington, played by former SNL cast member and Woody and Wilcox show guest once upon a time, Daryl Hammond. Doing it somehow, I feel like, almost in a Bill Clinton voice, which I'm not sure I fully understand.
General Washington.
I've been told the British have an army of sharks, and you have a plan to stop them.
It's called the Sharknado, and no, the British don't control it.
If I remember my history correctly, and I'm a history teacher, which makes me uniquely qualified, you got a bunch of cannons lined up out here from Fort Ticonderoga.
We can use those cannons to destroy the Sharknado and kill the sharks.
Washington.
Hamilton.
Washington.
Hamilton.
Washington.
Hamilton? You know, I'm still trying to get tickets to your musical. Really hard to get.
Wait, who the hell is this?
I feel like I need to step
into my office.
I feel bad.
Because you're f***ing fired.
Just listening to the acting.
Mm-hmm. By the way, that was Ben Stein playing Hamilton, if you didn't pick up on the voice. Pretty easy to recognize. Bueller. There's more.
Look, the more we stand here and argue about it, the more time the Sharknado has to destroy your harbor and conquer your troops. And then we all lose the war.
General Washington, a fact about your past. In 1743, your father died when you were just 11 years old. And then a little bit later, you went to Barbados and contracted smallpox. But Mr. Hamilton, you were an orphan. But about 240 years from now, you become a really great singer. Good job.
How do you know all this?
Because I'm a history teacher, damn it. You are my history.
What's it gonna be?
Hamilton, I think we need to give our new allies all the cannons they need. We have a Sharknado to defeat.
What the hell is Daryl Hammond doing?
I don't know.
I thought he hit bottom when he was on our show.
How many people are in that scene?
I don't care.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
You know, it has brought up something leading up to this. People are concerned about Tara Reid. That she may be on the sauce again. Did you see the interview that she gave on the Today Show that has people very concerned for her health?
This one, you guys, honestly, is beyond that. It's my favorite one. It's so ridiculous. It's so bad that it's good. And it's just, I mean, we've already, like, gone out of space. I already had a baby instead of a shark. I mean, we've done everything. Like, so you thought, like, how can we top this one off? And they're like, I got it, let's time travel. Yes. And then all of a sudden we're going to time travel. One day we're with George Washington. The next day we're with dinosaurs. I'm with a pterodactyl, and I name it Tara. I mean, it's just out of control. Like, the movie is just, it takes every step to the next level. Because we did know it's the last one. And it really makes sense from the first one. It really makes a complete circle. And I do really think it's going to be the end.
Ah,
she's slurring words.
I mean, but this is kind of like, this is the Tara Reid we've come to know. Is it really that off from how she normally sounds?
Not to me. Mm-mm.
Tara Reid is a national treasure.
I'm not saying she's not. I'm just saying I'm not sure that interview would be like, oh my God, what's happened to our Tara Reid?
Well,
I think I'm one that went Chelsea. I'd be like, yeah, that's kind of what I expected.
Yeah.
Now, I will say, then later when she did one of the other morning shows, then I started to hear a little something in her voice.
Freaking, I've seen smoke flying through the wall. And I said, look it, the house is on fire.
I feel like she sounded a little bit different in that clip, right. And there was a little bit of slurring.
She had a couple cigarettes in between.
Maybe there is something to be concerned about. The great news is, if you missed the final ever Sharknado last night, I think probably running it on a loop 24/7. So you've probably still got a shot.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Got an easy quiz for you guys. Wilcox, Chelsea, what's the greatest country in the world? That is right. And what makes America great? Is it our education system? Nope. Is it our wonderful people? No. It's our ability to file lawsuits.
I don't know that that's accurate. Hmm.
I bring it up because an 8-year-old horse has filed a lawsuit against his former owner seeking $100,000 worth of damages, and it's going to court.
I'm sorry, you said an 8-year-old what now?
An 8-year-old horse is suing its former owner. Justice is an 8-year-old American quarter horse was found 300 pounds underweight, covered in lice, and his genitals were so frostbitten they may have to be amputated. That's not something you want to do to an animal.
I don't want to hear that about anybody.
Right.
And that's why a lawsuit has been filed seeking $100,000 for veterinary care and damages for pain and suffering against Justice's owners. Now, who filed the lawsuit? The horse did. Not the first time an animal has sued its former owner or sued for some sort of rights.
It's not?
No. Back in 2013, a chimpanzee named Tommy sued his owners for freedom, lost. What was it, just last year we had that a monkey sued for copyright infringement of a selfie that he took with a camera? That was PETA that sued on behalf of the monkey. They lost that one. But the Animal League Defense Fund is hoping that this horse is going to be the first animal that is victorious in a lawsuit in these United States of America.
It's hard to hold the briefcase with your hooves.
I can't.
You're right.
I mean, I feel like that's only one of the problems.
Right. Well, can't you charge these owners with animal cruelty, neglect, something like that, without having a lawsuit from horse to them?
Yeah, they have. The previous owners have pleaded guilty to criminal neglect. However, that is a criminal case. This is a civil case where the horse is seeking money to help, you know, recuperate and for all the damages done to the horse.
So it's whoever's taking care of this horse, really, who's bringing the lawsuit.
That would normally be the case, but not in this particular case. The litigants are named as Justice, a horse in the United States, and then his, you know, former owners as the defendants. So, I mean, I know how much you love court cases, Wilcox, especially those involving,
horses.
Yeah, equine.
Equine lawsuits.
Yes, that's right. Porcine and equine lawsuits are your favorites.
Speaking of animals, I did notice that we'd gotten this on the Fez line moments ago.
Hey, guys, I think it's a little unfair. I thought Tara Reid was holding it together pretty well with her second and...
Sorry, that was the wrong one. It was this one that I was looking for.
Hey, guys, a few years back, I had my pet chimpanzee break out of his cage, and he was gone for, 3 or 4 days. He eventually did come back, and I remember the moment like it was yesterday. I said... Bubbles. Bubbles. Yeah. Bubbles. Bubbles. Yeah.
I mean, he nailed it.
Mm-hmm. Bubbles. Bubbles.
That's good work, Chuck Diapers.
Mm-hmm. Bubbles. Bubbles.
Fezline's always available to you, whether you're imitating one of the members of the Jackson family or whether you're filing a lawsuit against somebody and you're a horse.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
What did we learn today on the Woody and Wilcox Show?
Nothing.
Not true. We learned that movie Crazy Rich Asians was the number one movie at the box office. You find it interesting that they have a stat on how many people who went to see it are actually Asian?
Yes.
That's a thing. How would they know that?
You fill out like a census form?
I didn't. I went to see it. I took my son to see it. Said 38% of the ticket buyers for the movie were Asian, where normally only 10% would be Asian for the opening weekend of a film. Ooh, 68% of the audience for Crazy Rich Asians was female. So Joe and I were really bringing up the average on that one. What else did we learn on the show today? We learned that my wife doesn't know what a rom-com is. We learned that the final Sharknado ever was last night. We learned that Chelsea has a rogue hamster. We also talked to a listener who has a, quote, big-butted hamster. And found out that now Big Booty Hamster is following us on Twitter. We learned that you shouldn't put a sweater on a turtle. My theory is you always start dicky and work your way to sweater. We learned that if you're an 81-year-old woman, drinking boxed wine is fine, but you shouldn't do it topless at 7:40 in the morning in public.
Oh.
I mean, unless you want to get in, you know, arrested.
Right.
We learned that tarantula tacos is a thing. We learned that you shouldn't bite off another man's thumb down to the knuckle while playing golf with him. They will charge you with mayhem. And we learned that for all the things that you can say about Al Sharpton, you can't claim that he's not a good speller.
You know what they say about payback? It's a real... Well, I'm sure you know the word I'm thinking of. So in the words of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
Anything else you missed, you'll find it on the podcast after the show. Look for the Woody and Wilcox channel of iHeartRadio. Of course, if you follow us on Twitter, you'll get some of our bits already tweeted out by Cool Beans behind the scene. Nice job, Cool Beans. Tomorrow on the show, among other things, we will find out what's weird out there on Craigslist with a round of Craigslist Prices Right. Intern Dave, is there anything that you'd like to add to the show today?
Another great show, guys.
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
Everyone in this room is now dumber.
Not for a second have I even dwelled on the fact that the show's over. I don't,
It's the Woody and Wilcox Show.
I don't think about it. I try not to think about it, and therefore I, you know, don't.
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Because it's a very healthy way to deal with something that is very ultimately not that important in the long run. It's not important at all.
The Woody and Wilcox Show.
Of my late friend Aretha Franklin, show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.